This last week, while I was away and out of pocket, there were hearings going on with our state government here. And one of the issues that was coming up, and it's a major issue, it affects businesses all over Michigan, 83 counties, is labor shortage right now. And that impact, we're going to be talking about it this half hour. Later in the frame here, Tom Barrett will step in, Michigan Senate. We'll see if they're about to equally take away the extra extended pandemic unemployment benefits, try to get people back in the mix. And is that the answer? But I want to start with Glenn Stevens here, who heads up Mich Auto here. And that's all things Michigan economy for the Detroit Chamber of Commerce. Really, it's more than just cars, as the handle would indicate. And Glenn's on the other end of our line right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much. It's good to be back in the Great Lakes State just in time for storms, humidity, and all that stuff. But summer, too, which I'm digging. You were a part of the hearings last week going on in our state legislature. Tell me what the biggest issue is right now in terms of labor shortages. Why is that happening? And are we a one-off compared to other states, or is this like going on all across the country?
Well, we're not a one-off at all. We are probably a little bit on some extreme numbers with regards to others, and I can touch on that. But at the invitation of Representative Griffin of the Workforce and Trades Talent Committee, we came to Lansing along with a lot of different other companies and industries. Mm-hmm. So we had two of our automotive execs, one's from Shape on the west side of the state, and then one from the east side of the state, GS3, Lisa Lunsford, who happens to be the board chair of Mich Auto also. But there was a barbecue from Saginaw and a fishing lodge from the UP and a hotelier from the northern region and manufacturing companies, and they all had the same story, that we are woefully short on the people to run our businesses today. And actually, pre-pandemic, we were too, Dave.
I saw that AJ's Walleye Lodge, Lake Gogebic. I mean, that's about as far as you can go away from Detroit and have some of the same issues going on up there above the bridge as you do in the 313. And then, so that tells me it's happening everywhere in between right now. There's no easy answer to this, though, is there, Glenn?
Oh, no. A lot of people would like to make this a simple equation and to say that there's one answer to the question, but eliminating all the opinion and rhetoric, what I would say based on studies and surveys and, personal input, the Detroit Regional Chamber did a study recently, a survey, but we've got a variety of issues, and I can tick them off real quick. Childcare is a major issue in the state. COVID illness and fear is a major issue. A lot of people leaving the workforce, a lot of retirements. We're a very mature demographic state. People changing careers. If you had been at the whim of a fast food restaurant opening and closing for the past year, you might want to change your career too. And let's make no mistake about it, the unemployment insurance and the supplemental has been an issue. People do the math. That is a fact, and that is a factor. But there's no one single factor, Dave.
Yeah, and that's what I thought earlier on. I said, I'll talk about this a little with our state senator coming up, that the unemployment thing was the be-all and the end-all. But ultimately, that was only going to hit, in my own mind, I said, that's really only going to hit one sector in terms of where they are income-wise. That's not going to be an effect on the higher end, or like you say, some people who are aging out and saying, this pandemic, it's just getting me going a little sooner than maybe I wanted to, but I think I've had enough. And so they're out. So that labor force is going to look, a little bit different right now. I'm feeling for businesses, though, that managed to stay alive, whether it was PPP loans or what have you, and they say, we're going to come out of this stronger on the other side, and now they're really struggling. Before it was to stay open with customers, be able to do business. Now it's just to be able to have enough employees to take care of the customers who want to come, and they've been, chomping at the bit to come and buy and be served and et cetera. I mean, it's difficult, really tough for them.
Yeah, and you know, I'll give you two very extreme examples that represented. I mentioned that barbecue, and I believe it was Mr. Dalton and his wife that testified. I might get that wrong, but here's a single business owner work their tail off all day long in Saginaw, and they can't get people to work at their company. They, as he said it, we made it through the pandemic, but I'm not sure we're going to make it forward because of the labor situation. And then on the automotive side, you know, you've got people having a really hard time finding people and filling shifts and keeping people, so much so that you have people from the offices and the salaried workforce literally volunteering to go in and run lines over the weekends. And I could give you several examples of that. You know, it's a fact.
That's amazing. I mean, that's stunning.
That's the situation we're in right now.
Well, okay. Now, you deal with the big three all the time. They'll come up with a way to solve that issue. It'll be harder for the third party folks, though, the vendors who keep those plants going with their own plants for parts, et cetera. And at that end of the pay scale, are some of them going to have to pay more, then charge more, and then our cars cost more? Will that be? I'm trying to add 1, 2, and 3 here, and you know, when you add 1, 2, and 3, everybody gets a different number. But that's what I'm doing. Do you think that'll happen, or is that stepping too far, Glenn?
No. The market doesn't quite work that way on the consumer side. I mean, the retail prices of vehicles already are sky high. I think the average price of a vehicle is $35,000 right now. And what you see is you find that a lot of companies, I mean a lot of companies across the state in the manufacturing and automotive sector, have already raised their wages. And I could give you story after story of companies that, not story, but fact, of companies that have raised $1, $2, as much as $4.
Yeah.
Hourly line workers getting $1,500 bonuses if they'll sign to work on the lines. And these are good jobs. And we have to remember, too, that a lot of these companies, most of these companies are providing health care. They have 401k plans. They're very progressive. I take a company like Shape over in Grand Haven, perfect example of a company that really treats their people well and really works and is a vital part of the community. So, you know, it's a pinch point. But the other point I would make, Dave, is that this is not something that ends tomorrow or next month or even a year from now. We have structural issues with our labor force in Michigan that we have to address from an education level up and a demographic issue. And there are many of them that we need to address for us to grow as economy in the future.
Should the state be providing? I mean, money is coming into Lansing, as you know now, Glenn. It's like there are truckloads of it, right, from D.C. Should the state be providing? Maybe they take away the unemployment thing, but should they be putting out incentive and more incentives for people to get back in the workforce here to do? Is there anything the state can do incentivize wise to make that happen or no?
Yeah, well, yes, indeed. One of the auto execs put it to me is that, look, we can deal with our fixed costs on the manufacturing side, and we if we have to raise our labor rates, we raise them. And oh, by the way, we can't pass those costs onto our customer, you know, the tier one or the OEM. We have to eat those costs or take it from somewhere else. So the factor that we can all work on is the investment in the education, the training, and the workforce for the future. So yes, the state plays a huge role. And I would submit that Governor Whitmer and the Labor and Economic Opportunity Office have made a lot of progress with that, and they are committed to this. The unemployment kicker, so to speak, comes off on September 1st no matter what.
Yeah.
Some states have just implemented it. So there really isn't any data out there from the other states as to whether it's an impact.
Right.
We hope it is. We feel it was, but there'll be a longer-term issues that we need to address together.
Ms. Schotto is headed up by Glenn Stevens with the Detroit Regional Chamber here. He was part of hearings going on in Lansing about our labor shortages and its impact, and a heavy impact that's having now as we start to come out of, and we are clearly coming out of, COVID-19, but what does the world look like economically for the Great Lakes State? And it's up in the air. There's a lot of opportunity here, folks, but a lot of question marks, too, in how we handle that. And that's going to face all of us in the days and weeks to come. Glenn, always great to have you on. I appreciate very much. Good luck. We'll stay in touch, all right? We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Glenn. All right, we're back here. State Senator Tom Barrett coming in next to join us on the Morning Wake Up. Do not go away. 1320 WILS.